Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us right now for the Flaherty Report is John Flaherty, and the John Flaherty Report brought to you by Stoli Vodka, the official vodka of the Yankees Radio Network, and by Tire Discount Tire Pros.
It's the Flaherty Report with John Flaherty. Somebody's getting pizzayed.
That's right. Somebody is getting pizzayed. We are tied 1-1 after a crazy weekend in the ALCS, John. We've been fighting off callers with bats and sticks and brooms and everything this morning that want to kill Aaron Boone and want to kill the bullpen and blame them for the loss last night. For me, it was the Yankee lineup not coming through against the Astros bullpen. That's where the game was lost. What's your opinion on if there's blame to be had, where does it go?
Yeah, it has to go to the Yankees offensively, right? I mean, we kind of saw this game coming where Verlander threw his, six-plus innings, and the Yankees matched him with four pitchers. And if you're 2-2 at the back end of that game going up against the Astro bullpen as a lineup, they have a lot of confidence that they would be able to get a couple of runs and match up the bullpens and be able to win this game. So I'm with you. I think the Yankees offensively didn't get it done against their bullpen. The Astro bullpen threw better than I gave them credit for coming in to this series. They impressed me last night, and they're the reason why they got a win and got back to New York with a split.
All right, two guys that are struggling in the lineup, Edwin Encarnacion is 0-for-12 his last 12, and Gary Sanchez is 2-for-17. What do you see from these two guys, and what's going on with them?
Yeah, Edwin's kind of caught in between, which I was amazed that he wasn't caught in between after all the time that he missed before the division series. He was right on plan with the fastball in that series, and he's kind of being overpowered with the fastball. Obviously, against Verlander, that's going to happen. And he was kind of, out in front of all the off-speed that Zach Greinke threw him in game one. That's what I see with him. I'm a little surprised with Gary. I thought the last game of the division series, he really swung the bat well, didn't have a whole lot to show for it. But he hasn't been doing a whole lot. He's been expanding out of the strike zone. I thought his last at bat where he, got a break with the slider in the dirt that they thought he foul tipped it. I thought he was going to come through in that spot because he had some good swings with James and his fastball velocity. And obviously the last pitch a little bit off the plate. But those are two guys that have to get going. But, when you get to this time of the year, if you're not feeling 100%, with the quality of pitching in the playoffs, you're going to be exposed a little bit. And, those two guys obviously missed so much time coming down the stretch, and it seems to be exposing them right now.
Speaking of missing so much time down the stretch, Stanton has missed basically 90% of the year and misses game two with a quad strain. What kind of pressure does that put on the Yankees, and what do you expect with what are they going to do with him? Do we expect to see him the rest of this series or no?
Yeah, they're going to evaluate, obviously he get a day off today and then evaluate and see if he's a player moving forward. And, I don't know if I feel bad. The guy's missed so much time, but, game one, he drills that home run right center field, and you're like, all right, we got a player now, kind of been preaching how patient his at-bats were, and he's been taking his walks, and eventually you feel like he's going to get some mistakes and do some damage, and he did that in game one, and then comes down with the quad strain, and it's just been, unfortunately for him, the story of his year, and, they're going to have to make a decision. I think Aaron Hicks is now going to be obviously more of a factor in the series. I know he only had one at-bat last night, but he hit that ball hard off of Smith. So he's probably going to be a bigger player now moving forward than I thought he was going to.
No, the interesting thing, I'm sorry, Gio, the interesting thing is that Aaron Hicks is healthy and he's back, which now leads me to believe that if Stanton can't go, it's got to be Luke Voit, right?
That's what I'm thinking. What I'm thinking. And I was really scratching my head with Aaron Hicks. This guy misses 2 months. And you're going to put him in an American League Championship Series. And, people were talking about him being a starter. And I'm thinking to myself as a former player, no way. I mean, you haven't played a game in 2 months and you're going against this quality pitching staff with Houston. But now with Stanton going down, I think he's going to be a player. I think he's going to be a starter.
You can't envision, or at least I can't, Giancarlo Stanton coming back from this injury and being a healthy player the rest of this series, because every time we've seen him this year get hurt, he's gone for months and months and months. I mean, and the last thing I want to see is this guy come back and not be 100% and then end up hurting the team. I mean, is your expectation that this is the last we've seen of Giancarlo Stanton this postseason?
That's my expectation. But, the way this year has gone with all the injuries, it's just crazy. But, you know, I don't know if I feel bad for Giancarlo. It's been one of those years, but he was building up some momentum here to kind of get all of the Yankee fans off of his back with that home run in game one. And then now this happens. So very frustrating for everybody all the way around.
It really is frustrating. And here's one thing, though, I think we all can agree on, and I'm assuming that you probably feel the way we did. Last night when Aaron Boone comes out to take out James Paxton was the 100% right move to make, even if Green isn't as good as he is. I thought that, you know, Paxton was on the ropes there, and it was almost like this could have been like an explosion. And Aaron Boone aggressively went out, took him out of there, and basically kept the game close.
No doubt. When you do that, obviously, we're in the studio critiquing every move that he's making. Green comes in and looked electric, looked like he was on top of his game. And then he makes the move with Springer and Ottavino. And, we think back to the division series. Ottavino, his job was to get Nelson Cruz out in that series, and he walked him a few times. We're seeing right now that Ottavino's job is going to be to try to get Springer out. And he spins a breaking ball, hangs in. It's a tie game. So, the Yankee bullpen did their job. It's the Yankee lineup that has to do a better job against the Astros bullpen late in the game.
Would you trust Ottavino moving forward?
You have to run him out there. Trust is you can't say you would trust him, because he struggled coming down the stretch. He hasn't looked like a comfortable pitcher in the postseason. So to answer your question, no, I wouldn't trust him. But you have to throw him out there in the lanes that they're talking about, matchups that they like. That's where you're going to see him. And my question, guys, moving forward is, now you have three games back-to-back-to-back in the Bronx. And, you have Severino, who's not going to be a long starter. So obviously the bullpen for these next 3 days are going to be the difference in this series. And they've been worked, a little bit the first couple of games, especially in game two. Aaron Boone, I think, in my opinion, is going to be the going to the bullpen in games 3, 4, and 5. And will those guys be able to perform back-to-back-to-back days?
Talking to John Flaherty, former Yankee, now with the Yes Network, the John Flaherty Report on the Fan, CBS Sports Network. And I guess that's where I'm going with this is the fatigue question. I mean, you can look at it a couple of ways. Of course, these guys, because they pitch so much in the regular season, are going to be overused. You also think about the time that they had at the end of the regular season and the time that they had waiting for the ALCS. It doesn't seem like Aaron Boone is concerned about overuse. He's just going to these guys and going to these guys and going to these guys. And you're telling me that three games in a row, especially with Severino, and then you're thinking maybe bullpen game in game four, that this could be a real problem for them with the way that games one and two went.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. And that's what immediately came to mind. The Yankees went for it last night, obviously the right thing to do. They have to find a way to beat Verlander and Cole in one of these games. And they had a shot to do it last night with the game being tied 2-2 when Verlander comes out of it. So now you fast forward to games 3 and 4. You don't expect Severino to go very deep in the game. Obviously, any sign of trouble early, Aaron Boone has shown us that he's going to make a move. And then game 4 is probably going to be an opener game with a bullpen. So how do guys respond in game 4 after being used in game 3? But this is what they envisioned. This is exactly the way they thought it was going to go down when they rested their bullpen during the month of September and limited those guys, limited their innings. So they're banking on that physically they're going to be able to do it, that they're going to be able to bounce back, and we're going to be able to watch and observe and critique and do all that stuff in games 3, 4, and 5.
It also shows just how bad or how much Domingo Germán's idiocy has come back to hurt this team.
Great point. We were talking about that last night, when we were off air waiting to come on. Dellin Betances goes down with the injury. I mean, those are two huge arms That would have been a big factor negating some of the right-handed hitters for the Houston Astros. But, you know, when you get to the point that Sabathia is in the game, Elizak is in the game, and Jay Happ is in the game, that's where you lose your advantage in the bullpen. And, you know, those guys hung on for a little bit, and eventually Happ makes a mistake and they lose the game. But you're right, Herman and Betances, Herman with the stupid thing that he did, and Betances with the injury. Now you're seeing that those are two huge guys that you wish you would have had.
Yeah, but the thing about it is Aaron Boone can only manage to what he has, and he has had a okay starting staff all year long. He doesn't have the big three that Houston has, so he has to play to his strengths. I still say, because of what happened last year, he is much more aggressive this year. He has inserted himself into the game significantly, and I thought last night he pushed all the right buttons, especially if you believe in the analytics part of it, which would be the Ottavino part of it. Then he pushed that right button, even though it didn't work out for them. But more the way that he pulled out Paxton showed me that it's not just about analytics, that he's obviously paying attention to how his players are playing. And I also think that now he's got this thing with Stanton where they got to figure out what the answer is and whether or not Hicks and Voit are going to be the answer to a Stanton that's going to be taken off of this roster, which means if they move forward, we're not going to see Stanton until next year.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Boomer. And, you know, we can go back to game one and Tanaka only throwing 68 pitches through six innings. I mean, you know, unheard of that you would take a guy out who was cruising facing the minimum. But to your point, Aaron Boone is not going to get beat with his starting rotation. He's going to make moves going to his bullpen, which is all fine in games one and two. Now we move to game three, and some of those decisions that are happening in the middle and early in the game are going to be the right ones. But you got to find a way as a lineup to do some damage either against Cole in game three or eventually in the bullpen late in that game, because the Yankees were set up last night. That's a tough loss for them. They could have been on that plane saying they had total command, and now you feel like the momentum has shifted. And, you know, as well as the Yankees have pitched to the Houston Astros, they've only scored three runs in two games, and this thing is tied. So eventually you feel like that lineup for Houston is going to get going, and you wonder if that swing of the bat by the Correa switches the momentum in the series.
How do you expect the Yankee lineup to attack Gerrit Cole? Is there a way to do it, or is it just that this is power against power and may the best man win?
Yeah, this is another level, Gio. I mean, as good as Verlander was, and I thought he was good, this with Cole now in game three, this is another level. I mean, the stuff is better. The stuff is dominating a little bit more than Verlander. So it's the same game plan. It's how do we keep, ourselves in the game, either a low-scoring game, like last night, 2-2 going into it late. We got to find a way to get him out of the game. And, to the Yankees' credit, they did everything they needed to do last night against Verlander. They got a couple of mistakes. Aaron Judge hits the home run. They're tied going into it late, and they're in the bullpen. And in their minds, that's the way they have to beat Cole or Verlander. They couldn't do it in game two. It's not going to get any easier in game three against Cole. This guy's special. I expect him to go into Yankee Stadium. That place, 4 o'clock game might not be as crazy as an 8 o'clock game with the crowd, but he's not going to back down. He's going to be a beast.
You know what, though? I think that the Yankees coming home 1-1 is fine. They had to get game one. There was no question about that. They got it. And now, because Cole had to go in game five against the Rays, you got Cole at home in your building. I'd much rather face him in my building, maybe 4 o'clock on a cold afternoon or whatever, and take my chances there as opposed to seeing him in either game one or two in Houston. They could have come back here 0-2 if that would have been the case.
Yeah, I'm totally with you in facing Greinke in game three, right? And you feel like you could do something at home against Greinke. I'm with you. But the way this thing plays out now, Houston wins a momentum-type game in game two, and now you have your best pitcher, the best pitcher in baseball, throwing game three. So if I'm Houston and I get on that plane last night or today, whenever they were flying, I'm sitting there thinking, we got our big boy going in game three. We got a good chance to be up 2-1, and we'll take our chances the next couple of days in Yankee Stadium knowing that we're going to get back to Houston.
What'd you make of the sequence in the top of the 11th with Gary Sanchez, who fouls off a pitch he doesn't really foul off and then gets the makeup call after that? I mean, that's something you really don't want to see from a home plate umpire. What were you thinking while all of that was unfolding?
You know what? I was thinking that that home plate umpire, I think his name was Corey Blazer, he had a great game. We in the studio did not even blink an eye at any of the pitches that he had called up to that point. You know, and listen, if we can break down that at bat, Gary Sanchez should be out on the pop-up that hits the rafters. And I'm thinking about as an ex-catcher, I got a young pitcher out there in James who makes a pitch, who thought he got out of the inning with the pop-up to Gary Sanchez, and now he's got to go back out there and try to get him out. And he does. He throws a nasty slider, a swing and a miss, and then the umpire says he fouled it off. So for a young pitcher to make two pitches to get a good hitter like Sanchez out, I was worried that he was going to make a mistake and give up a couple of runs. And he executed a pitch off the plate. Was it a strike? No. But, you know, Sanchez should have been out a couple of times during that at bat. And for all that whole game, Blazer, the home plate umpire, had an unbelievable game. Nobody, Verlander, anybody even said a word to him until that pitch to Gary Sanchez.
John, always great talking to you. We will talk to you later this week.
All right, guys.
John Flaherty, the John Flaherty Report, brought to you by Stoli Vodka, the official vodka of the Yankees Radio Network, and by Tire Discount Tire Pros. I'm assuming we'll talk to John on Wednesday morning. Is that what
Wednesday you know what I heard morning? I heard a catcher talking about a great pitcher is what I heard there. And he painted a very, very bleak picture for the New York Yankees tomorrow.
Yeah. You know, I was, you know, when you're up late and like you get delirious and stuff and your mind starts wandering. Speaking of catching last night, like I had this whole conversation with myself, like why would anybody want to be a catcher these days? Like with you back there with the equipment, you're squatting, you're getting hit. You know, like what the hell are you doing? Like with the Astros catcher gets hit in the head, bang! You saw from Sanchez, and they ended up, the umpire did the right thing, and he went out there and he checked on him and everything. And he's like stumbling. I'm like, why the hell would anybody put themselves through that?
And then you're expected to burp back up first base.
Yeah, I know.
No way.
You got to be nuts to be a catcher.
It's like being a goalie in hockey. It's like you're there, you're in the midst of everything, and there's nothing quite like it. It's just, it's an awesome position, man. You got to be crazy to play it, but it's an awesome position.
Oh, that squatting too, man. You're just wrecking your knees.
Well, you had a hard time at the Heber home just throwing the ball back.
That's right.
Me.
I know. I
so
did everything else.
The pressure. You felt the pressure of catching.
Sure, of course I did.
Eddie
buckled.
Feels the pressure of catching.
I buckled
all the time.
Under the pressure, but I mean, in the softball game, it's a little bit different. You don't have to squat the entire time. You can sort of like you know hunch, and then you don't have to put the equipment on really. You know, so
right.
it's a little bit different. But when you see these foul balls go off these guys' heads, like boom, I'm like, what are you doing? Just
they
find another position.
They absolutely love it.
Why are you putting yourself through this?
That's why they call it the tools of ignorance.
Yeah. I guess
they
so.
They love it.
Very true. All right, Boomer and Geo coming up. We have a Jerry Recco update and more Yankee tickets to give away before we are off the air at 10 o'clock and hand it over to Joe and Evan.
It's
so
like
listen for the cue to call for that.
Goalies, catchers, nose tackles, and centers. Like those four athletes can go hang out somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
And just commiserate
just
together.
Punch each other in the face
yeah,
for
whatever.
Fun.
Yes.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.